of the kingdom of God. It's wonderful that we have the rejuvenation of nighttime. It's wonderful that we have the, as teachers, we have the rejuvenation of summertime. And it's wonderful that we have the privilege of getting together in places like this to inspire us and to keep us fresh. Something I look forward to is opening these new books. There's a certain smell that goes with these new books. I love that new smell. It's wonderful. It's fresh. I see you nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. There's something about the smell of a new book. It needs to be opened. It needs to be used. It needs to be gotten into. Keeping your teaching fresh. I'm going to be talking some about your teaching. First part will be a bit theoretical, and then talking about your actual teaching, some things to do to keep it fresh, and then lastly, talking about just a little bit about you. I've been challenged and encouraged, and my horizons have been broadened by a book by a William R. Yount, Created to Learn. They're not paying me anything for it, but down here in the bookstore, just across the wall, they have the book. I've had it for several years already, and it's a wonderful book, Created to Learn by Mr. William R. Yount. And I borrow from him this morning on this this diagram. One thing I like about books, when I was a youngster, I'd page through new books, and if I could see there was a lot of conversation in the book, I knew it was an interesting book. I don't look so much for conversation as anymore. I look for diagrams and charts and models. Those inspire me. I love them. So here is a diagram. We're going to be looking at a diagram that Mr. Yount presents. As we came here, I noticed a sign out here. It says something like Faith Builders Educational Programs, Discipling the Head, Heart, and Hands. That sign fits right into this. What we know, what we feel, and what we do. This is general, but yet it basically makes up you. And it basically makes up your students, the experience of your students. What you know or what you think, how you feel, and what you do. You could think of it as your head, your heart, and your hands. The Bible definition of heart in some places encompasses more than your emotions. For the youth this morning, it will be, we're speaking more of the emotions, the desires of a person. What we know, what we think, and what we feel, and what we do, they are related. They're very related, in fact. You as a teacher, probably, as a young teacher, as a young Christian, are stronger in one than the other. Men pride themselves in being pretty strong in what they know. Ladies don't necessarily pride themselves, but they definitely use what they feel. Most ladies, not all. And the ambitious ones pride themselves in what they do. They're related. There are no tin men anymore. We all have a heart, even the men. The ladies certainly know things. We all certainly should do things. What we know, we're talking of theology, we're talking of dogma, we're talking of doctrine, we're talking of lectures. That inspires some people. They just get all excited about new knowledge, new information. They love it. That's good. It's in its place. There are some people that don't really care so much about the, well, they look at all knowledge as to what it, how it affects me, how it makes me feel. How do I feel about it? How do I respond to it? The emotions, the desires, the atmosphere that is created in our classroom is all connected with what we feel. What we do, there's some people that are very busy, too busy. There are some people that are busy before they know. And it can cause some problems. We're talking activity. We're talking missions. We're talking programs. We're talking your seat work. Let's take all three of these to the extreme. If somebody emphasizes, if you and your teaching emphasize knowledge, and you get all inspired about your knowledge, and not just your knowledge in a proud way, but knowledge in general, you get all inspired about this new textbook that just came out. It still has a smell to it, and you're all enthused and inspired about the content. You're inspired about the lessons in it, the information in it. And so you can get up and you can lecture and you can actually be inspired by the content, but some of your students are not going to necessarily pick up on that. So what does Central America, I'm never going to live there. I hear students talking like that. Why do I have to study China? I have no interest in going there whatsoever. No, they don't feel good about it. But what we know needs to also be presented in a way that does not turn off those who are not necessarily inspired by knowledge. Let's take the feeling teachers. Those are the teachers that they enjoy the freewheeling classes. They enjoy the discussions. They want to make sure that everybody's comfortable. They want to make sure that everybody's having a good time. They want to have fun. They do not like to use have a firm hand. They like to have the students on their side. Carried to the extreme, however, they basically go with the flow because that's what they feel like doing. They tend to be a bit unstructured, and carried to the extreme, they're full of a bunch of sentimental fluff. It's not a whole lot of substance there. To the busy people, this is busy work. I'll tell you a classic example, not that I'm promoting or just promoting any curriculum, but if any of you have taught ACE math, in about the 50s, middle of fifth grade, they have page after page after page of fractions. First they learn to add, then they learn to subtract, then divide and multiply. They page after page of it. Students get bored stiff. Why do we have to do so much? That's busy work. And it is possible for students actually to do their work without having the understanding. They want to do it to get done. They don't want to do it to learn necessarily, but they just want to get the lesson done so I can go out to play, or so I don't have homework. I want to get it done. Teachers can be this way too. You can be a teacher that just puts yourself into doing all the programs, all the everything you've got, end up burned out. We have songs that actually fit all of these categories. The Church of Swan Foundation is Jesus Christ Our Lord. It's basically a song of content. It's a song of knowledge. The feeling, the heart. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. and I've laid up there. Oh, what? Anyhow, the song just goes on. The tune fits it perfectly. It makes you feel like you're winging through the air, just going for it. Doing. Rouse ye Christian workers, be ye up and doing, winning souls for Jesus. What I'm wanting to say this morning is that you need to be conscious of all three aspects of the makeup of people. You need to be conscious of your makeup. You need to be conscious of where perhaps you are strongest in, where you are weakest in, and you need to try to present a fresh, whole picture. And I love the sign, discipling the head, the heart, and the hands. There's scripture that you can use to support and make a case for each one of these areas of life. Once again, your students probably are affected differently. Some by what they know, some by knowledge, some by the feeling, some by doing. So you need to present a balanced picture so that they have it all. It's impossible to teach somebody something if he does not feel like learning it. It's impossible to teach something without somebody actually getting busy and doing it. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand. So they definitely do work together. We need to approach the whole student, all three aspects. We need to make sure that that we are presenting content that's worth being presented. And we need to be sure that we present it in such a way that he is inclined to receive it. And we need to give him exercise in doing it. They work in harmony. And I know this is a little bit theological, but charts and graphs inspire me. Look at somebody who matures. They blend together in more one complete and inseparable unit. He does what he knows he ought to. He does what he knows he ought to do, and he feels good about it. There's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of peace having done what he knows he should have done. And that's not all. Psalm 111, verse 10 says something. I can just about quote that. Psalm 111, verse 10 says this. The fear of the Lord, that's knowing, that's the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. We think that we need to understand something before we do it. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes we actually have to do something in order to gain the understanding. That's what the Bible says. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. The doing his commandments is actually the cause, and a good understanding is also the effect. I think the opposite of that is also true. Those who have a good understanding will do what is good, will do what is right, will do God's commandments. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men everywhere, be ye reconciled to God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The knowledge the terror, that's certainly an emotion. The justice, the knowing the justice of God strikes that sense of reverence and a desire to please God in our hearts that moves us to be evangelistic. They work in harmony. Now going on to something a bit more practical. There is the anticipation, keeping your teaching fresh. There's an anticipation of a new day. There's an anticipation of something better, of some area that I can grow in. Somebody asked me once, or I read, I'm not sure where it comes from, if I could push a button and it would freeze you in the condition you are now, would you allow me to press the button? And we just, all of us just, no way. I'm glad there is no such button, because that would erase the anticipation that we face, the anticipation that we feel. There's something about that anticipation, the smell of the new book, the joy of discovery, the light of understanding that brightens up in the eye. You know what I'm talking about. You tell your students something and, I love when they say things like, oh, I get it. And that's candy for teachers. I mean, that is sweet. That's wonderful. That's reward. And you're teaching and they're trying. They're trying. They're struggling, as we heard this morning, to get it. Ah, I get it. There's a light of understanding that goes on. That's an anticipation that I'm talking about. There's an anticipation of what the students might be down the road. The anticipation of your influence in your students' lives. That should inspire you to do your very best, to keep your teaching fresh, to keep it alive. Then there is authority. Jesus spoke with authority. He knew what he was talking about. He understood it. It was inside him. He didn't just read it out of a textbook. This was experiential knowledge for Jesus. Everything he taught was experiential knowledge for him. He understood it. He didn't need a textbook to teach out of. It was ingrained in him, and he knew it. He understood it. He experienced it. He spoke with authority. He spoke with passion. My wife says that Home Depot is my favorite store. But let me tell you one of my least favorite experiences in my favorite store. I go there and I ask a question to one of those people with their orange aprons. And they come and they pick up one or two or three of the options and they start reading the label. I already know that. I've already read the labels. You don't need to read the labels out loud to me. I see that they are trying to help people, but they are not an authority on the subject. I appreciate going to some place. They know what they're talking about. I had the experience once of teaching something. I don't remember what it was. I think it was physics. And one of these students asked me, do you really understand it? And the fact that he figured out that I wasn't speaking with authority was true. I did not really understand. I was telling him what the textbook said. I was reading off the label for him, basically. Know your stuff. Know your subjects. In fact, you need to overlearn your subjects. If you're teaching Algebra 1, I would suggest be competent in Algebra 2. If you're teaching 6th grade, I would suggest that you get the 7th grade math and you also work through the 7th grade math so that you know where these students are going, so that you know how better to prepare them for what is yet to come. Know ahead of your students, not just what your students are studying. I had the privilege of going to a good 8 years of school, and that was all that I had the privilege of attending. And when I started teaching, I had to work. And my first several years of teaching, I was working ahead of my students. That was not a bad thing. I mean, it would have been good if I could have, I was teaching high school, by the way, and I had to work ahead of my students. Everything that I taught, I'm sure, was fresh, because it couldn't have been stale, because I didn't, you know, it wasn't from long ago. Know your subjects. Know your students. Know what they can handle. Know how to approach them. Know, just gain the understanding from watching your students. See what makes them click. See what makes the light come on. Some students, you can tell them something and they understand it. Other students, they actually, it almost drives me funny, but they have to understand something in their own terms, and they try their best to repeat to me what they think I'm trying to say. And no, that's not quite what I'm saying. Have patience, teacher. They're coming. They're learning. Let them try to explain it back to you. That's wonderful if they do. That's proving that they're not being satisfied with just memorizing what you said. They're trying to digest it, and as they're digesting it out loud. Stay with them. Keep learning. Howard Hendricks says, "If you stop growing today, you stop teaching tomorrow." John Milton Gregory says, "The teacher must know that which he would teach. Imperfect knowing must be reflected in imperfect teaching." Know what you're teaching. Know your students. Know how you can know and develop the best way to communicate that to them. If the light doesn't come on in their eye, you'll get tired. You'll get burned out. You will be doing without actually the little rewards that keep you alive and fresh. Somebody asked a question once. One of my friends asked me a question once. He said, "How long do you think you could hire a person if you would pay him double? His job would be to chop wood with the blunt side of the axe. Even if you paid him double, how long would you work for that?" If you were in desperate need of money, you might stick it out for a day or two. See, there is something beyond the paycheck. There's something beyond the money. There is an element of success. There is an element of accomplishment that must go with what we're doing. There's an element of success. There's an element of learning that must accompany the students' experience in school, or they will give up. They'll get cold feet. They'll back off. "I've tried so long and I can't understand it. My mom tried to explain it when I got home. She couldn't. I still can't explain it. I still can't understand it. My dad tried to, and my older brother and older sister tried to. I still can't." They give up. Somehow or the other, we need to meet them in some way that they can understand. Be willing to change. One thing I would encourage you in: don't fix something that's not broken. However, if what you are doing isn't working, do change it. Because if you continue doing what you're doing and it's not working, the result will continue to be the same. It'll be a continual failure. Change what you're doing if it's not working. It's not the big boulders in our pathway, the big problems, that discourage us. It's the little grain of sand in our shoe that irritates us and causes a real discomfort and causes blisters and causes us to stop. And then there is interest. Interest in the subjects. You need an inborn interest. A developed interest in subjects. I remember a poster that stuck with me. This must be 25 years old that I remember the poster. The larger the island of knowledge, the longer the shoreline of wonder. The larger the island of knowledge, the longer the shoreline of wonder. Be interested in your subject. You take an interest in it? Steve has already this morning explained this in a very graphic way. There's something simple in the complex, and yet there's something on the far side of the complex. There is still something simple. Be interested. Keep that desire to learn. Be interested in life. Be interested in nature. A while back, I was power company ran a line down beside our schoolhouse, and so they were in there with some heavy equipment, and I was actually looking for some baby ducks down behind the school. There's a pond there, and I saw this big tangle of brush, and way down on the it looked like vines, and way down on the ground I saw a dogwood flower. Now, the dogwood is the Virginia State tree and flower. I saw this dogwood down there, and I went, dogwood on a vine? Can't be. And so I got down and I examined the thing and looked at it, and I found that what had happened in the big machinery coming through and everything, they knocked down a dogwood tree. It was grown over with vines and brambles, but here, down underneath it all, the tree hidden, only vines being visible, here was a dogwood flower. My mind began to churn. Okay. Observation. Here's a lesson. Here's a lesson for my students. Observation. Looking for life. Looking for, as Brother Jonas was talking about, looking for God. So, the next morning was raining. We couldn't do it then. Following morning, just a change of scenery. Totally change of scenery. Okay, for devotions this morning, I have some papers for you. On the papers I had written something like, tell what you observe and what lesson in life, what lesson for life, well, what life lesson does this hold for us? I gave all my students one of those papers. They were going on a walk. Here's some ground rules. I want no talking. I want this to be silent. It's hard for students to do, especially when they're on a walk. It wasn't such a long walk, but so we went down. And I told them, now, I want you to observe something. I didn't tell them anything about it, but I want you to observe something. And so they started looking around. It was like hide and go seek. They didn't know where the thimble was. They didn't even know what the thimble was. And sure enough, some of them found it, and I saw some students down on their haunches reaching in and checking things out. And sure enough, you know, other students would see them seeing something, so they'd come around, and for the most part, they got it. There were a few of them that clean missed it, but for the most part, they got it. And then we went back, and actually, after they wrote the life lesson, I read that to all the students, and we had a good time doing that. And most of them understood the lesson in life. Even though we're trampled over, we still bloom. We still do what God has made us to do, even if even in adverse situations. So it was a good experience. Be interested in nature. Be interested in the life around you. Tell real life stories. My students accuse me of telling a lot of stories, and they some have said that I go through a certain I say something, they can tell that the story's coming, they just kind of sit there and wait on this story coming. I'm not sure if they really if they would admit that they enjoy them, but I know students well enough that I do know that they do enjoy stories. And sometimes when I tell them some of the mistakes I've made, like trying to play policeman one day, I was driving down the road and I saw this fella in a Mustang. So of course the boys are listening now, Ford Mustang, you know. He's driving recklessly on this curvy road, passing on a blind curve. And so I'm going home the next evening and I see him coming out and I know, he's gonna try that to me too. And so I watch him carefully in my mirror, and when he sees the moment that he can pass, it was still illegal. As he pulled over, I pulled over too. I was going to keep him in his place. I was playing policeman. And I continue, and anyhow, they're, what in the world? And then I talk about the motions that he's making at me and how he follows me when I turn off, and I don't want to go home because I don't want him to know where I live. The teacher's scared. And they're all into this story. They love it. And they get the point. I'll leave that. I won't tell you what happened. I didn't fight. There should also be a real purpose for the stories you tell. Don't just tell stories for the fun of telling stories. Then there is reading stories. Read good stories to your students. They gain their moorings for life by the stories they hear. That's one way that they gain their moorings in life. It orients them in what's right and wrong. They can understand it. You can tell them a story, they'll get the point much better than if you just tell them the point. One thing I see happening sometimes, don't insult your students by explaining every aspect of the story. Tell them the story, let the story speak for themselves. They're smarter than you think. Sometimes some of the stories need a little bit of explanation, but not much. Not as much as we tend to want to do. Let the story speak for itself. Some other mistakes I've seen teachers that read a story, and then they come back and they retell the story in their own words. There's no need for that. Read the story and be done. They'll get the message. I talked about interest a while ago, and I would like to insert, there's also a need for us to have a passion for God. I used to have the feeling that, you know, this thing of personal devotions, this thing of a desire for God and a passion for God, if you do it morning or evening, as long as you do it, but there's something, folks, about a structure, a system, and sticking to it that is very important for you. It might be that the structure is actually what is good for you. Certainly the Word of God is good for us. Morning or evening, if you have an undisciplined morning devotion, I would suggest it would probably be better for you to have a disciplined evening devotions. But I still would encourage the morning devotion. I came to that several years ago that, yes, I do think that the morning devotion does prepare you for the day better than even a good evening devotion. So, a disciplined interest and passion for God, an interest and a passion for His Word. Keep that alive. Now, for yourself, there's some things you need to do. We, as ambitious young people, don't know what bedtime is. My mother used to tell us, it's bedtime. If it would get a little later than that, she'd say, it's high time for you to go to bed. And my sister caught on that, my little sister did. My mom told her once, it's time to go to bed. She said, I want to wait till it's high time to go to bed. Well, We need our rest. You as teachers need your rest. It will show up the next morning. It shows up in me the next morning when I'm calling out spelling words. You know, you actually have to wait until they finish writing the word before you can go on to the next word. When I call out spelling words, I stifle yawns. That's the worst time of the day for me, if I don't get my rest. So get your rest. Do something else. Sometimes you just simply have to shake loose and go do something else. Physical labor is good for us. Let me tell you something not to do. The Haitian people, the Haitian teachers, male teachers, have this mentality, this idea that for me to really show my status to other people, what I do, I let my left little fingernail grow. I take care, I protect that left little fingernail. I let that thing grow long. The longer the better. And that is a symbol to the rest of everybody who looks on that I am above physical labor. I feel like taking a big old toenail clipper along and presenting the toenail clipper to them and say, well, you can figure that out. Physical labor is not a curse. Physical labor is good for all of us. Continue your learning. Some of you are at the place where you can still take some classes, some continuing education. Do it. You can do that in a structured way. If you can't do it in a structured way, I would certainly encourage you to do it in an informal way, on your own. Read books. There are books around. There are plenty of good books around to read. Give yourself to them. They don't all have to be school teacher books. They can be some other books. Just not long ago, I read Safely Home, about the Chinese underground, a wonderful book. It cleaned my tear ducts out. Read some other books. Stay current on what's going on in the world. When you see history unfolding, tell your students about it. This is something that your students are going to read about in the history books. Tell your students, this is something your children are going to read about in the history books. It's amazing how young these students are. They don't remember the Persian Gulf War. Soon, they're not going to be able to remember when the Twin Towers got flown into. So be aware, keep alive, keep alert as to what's going on around you. So again, the anticipation of something yet better to come. The authority which comes from knowing, experiencing, having it in you. The stories, personal life, and stories that you read. By the way, I get into this little thing a while back of reading Those Who Will Not Learn Must Feel to my students. Close to the end of every year, I love the story. That's a well-written story, and you can almost feel the tenseness in the air as the cat's about ready to spring. I read that to the students. They act. Oh no, he's going to read that to us again. They remind me. If they would be quiet, I might forget. But they're not quiet. They actually want to hear it. They may fuss and everything as I begin, but it's not long. They're all into it. They're listening. It's a good experience. Be interested in life. Take care of yourself. Keep your teaching fresh. God bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.